Welcome to the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board Meeting of November 16th, 2010. In closed session, the board considered four
personnel matters, which will be announced during the action agenda, the consent agenda item, and discuss conferences with labor negotiations. In open session, we can now maybe have a consensus on order of business. Anyone want to change any item tonight? Thank you. And we will then go to the minutes. We have several minutes. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the minutes?
Move approval of October 28th.
I believe yes, October 28th. Those are our first. Yes, and second, first by motion by Phil and second by Marilyn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And Ellen was abstaining for that. And November 2nd. Does anyone want to move?
I'll move approval of for the minutes of November 2nd.
Mr. Unger? Our first, and Phil is our second. And I believe that is it. I was thinking we had three. No, but just the two. All right, then we now have a presentation.
Take a vote on that. We need to take a vote on those minutes.
On the second? Oh, I'm so sorry. We didn't take. Well, while you guys are finding your place, we'll take a vote on the second set of minutes that were seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Hello. Do we have a spokesperson for the choir? Please. The mic is here. The red orb in the middle.
Good evening. Thanks so much for allowing us to come today. I'm Colleen Wall. I think I've met most of you in person, but some of you would like to shake your hand before I leave tonight. Thank you so much for... There we go. We're now... Houston, we have Connect. Okay. We are so appreciative of people who know that the arts are valuable to our students, to our community, to the world. And so we're here to say a resounding yes. Please do all you can to keep us going. We're passionate about this, and it not only helps us to come to school, but to actually enjoy our time together. So thank you so much for this opportunity to share. This is the Chamber Choir from Morro Bay High School, and we sing different styles of music. We sing a lot of traditional choral things, but our most recent performance was at the Cuesta Jazz Festival, so we're going to share one of those tunes with you today, and it's an arrangement of On a Clear Day.
Shines every star. You feel part
Thank you. I also wanted to just mention, we're very excited that last spring when our groups performed at a festival in San Francisco, we earned scores high enough to invite us to sing in a national youth choir in Carnegie Hall, and we're going there in February. And so we're super excited about that, just the opportunity. That's something you never forget. And so I want you to be proud, as we all are, of who we have here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Congratulations. It's certainly easy to see why you would be chosen to go to Carnegie Hall. That'll be a wonderful experience. Thank you for sharing with us this evening. We are without any student representatives tonight, so we're going to skip by student representatives and go to correspondence. We also have no correspondence. And then we have public comment, and we have Mark Riley. Hello, Mark.
What a performance to follow, huh? I'm here on behalf of the principal and the staff and the students at Hawthorne Elementary to thank Dr. Prater and Rick Robinette and Mr. Miller for coming to our celebration last week, where we honored our students for their accomplishments on their STAR test in 2009 and 2010. So I just want to thank you for your heartfelt support, and hopefully we'll be celebrating again next year. Thank you.
Thank you for acknowledging that. And I believe we have in the audience a young lady named Tara and her mother. And would you like to say something about La Posada?
Yes,
please.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Tara Clapham, Mrs. Clapham, and I'm the English Learner Specialist here at Del Mar. And this is Nancy Pineda, one of our fabulous students. And we are here to briefly tell you a little bit about La Posada and also to share with you some of the photo essays that the children have put together so you can see some pictures and some of their writing about the event. I'll let Nancy tell you a little bit about La Posada. Come on over here, sweetie.
La Posada is about a Mexican tradition story. And it's about that a lot of children dance and they sing about a tradition story.
And could you tell them a little bit about what we do here at school before the event? Things that we make or some preparations?
What we actually make is we do some flower traditions from Mexico.
Okay, Nancy, if you would please just place that whole pile of invitations over there and they will pass them along. Thank you. And you are all invited to attend. And Nancy is also going to present you with the little memory books that the children have put together for last year's Posada, actually the last 2 years. So this Posada that's coming up will be our fifth annual La Posada, and we hope to see you there. Thank you so much for your time. It's December 9th, which is a Thursday at 6 o'clock. And the flyers there are bilingual English on one side and Spanish on the back. Thank you.
And we have another speaker tonight, Mark. I need my glasses here. Mark Lebejam.
Yeah, Lebejam. Mr. Superintendent and Board, my name is Dr. Mark Lebed. I'm the community board member representative for the Bellevue Santa Fe Charter School. And I just wanted to take this moment to thank the board for its consideration and long-term support of our little school. I just want the board to know that it is incredibly and gratefully appreciated by all, especially our children who we serve. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're also very proud of what you do there at Bellevue Santa Fe. Thank you. Thank you for serving. And now we have superintendent update.
Well, as you know, we just had a election for school board, and I'd like to take a moment and use this opportunity to speak on behalf of Catherine Eisendrath Rogers, who has served on our board, and I'd like to acknowledge a couple things. First and foremost, on behalf of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, we want to express our appreciation and respect for your leadership, contribution, and personal dedication while serving as a school board trustee. As has been customary in our district, and in honor of your service, we will dedicate and donate a book of your choosing to our Instructional Media Center. We greatly appreciate, Catherine, your leadership and look forward to our continued relationship. Hold on 1 second here. I have one other point. Excuse me 1 second. Where did I put? There it is. Okay. And I would like to, on behalf of Walt Millar, who is unable to be here tonight, I will share some words that he would like to be acknowledged on your behalf, and then I'd like to give an opportunity for each of our trustees to share a few words. Walt participated in the appointment of Catherine Eisendrath Rogers to the board, and it was one of his one of his best decisions. Her interest in student achievement and success has impressed all of us on the board. She will be missed on the board, but her voice will continue to resonate. That's Walt Millar. And what I'd like to do, if it's okay, is work our way and allow the trustees to share a few words.
Catherine, I have to start with a regret, and that is that I had such a short time to serve with you, just a matter of months. Having said that, I will then express gratitude for your ability to help me learn, as I am still on that learning curve that you have, by observing you and your thoughtfulness, your thoughtful consideration of the issues, and your dedication to student success and student achievement in our district has impressed me, and I hope to follow in your footsteps towards those goals. So thank you.
Well, I'm thinking back, and I think it was in this auditorium, as a matter of fact, about four years ago. We had just had Dave Peter resign from the school board, and we were choosing a new school board member. And that's probably one of the most difficult things we can do. You know, there's a lot of folks that want to be on the board, and for various reasons and various interests, I guess. And so we do this, you know, we do the interviews, as I'm sure you well remember. And you were clearly our shining star. And I remember sitting there and watching from the audience one of the people I know going, "He's the one." And you are the one, and you were the one. It's been really great working with you these years. Your passion for students and your care about students is just first and foremost. Your participation in the schools is just to be lauded, and I wish you well. Thank you.
Hi, Catherine. I'm going to miss you. I've enjoyed working with you. We don't always agree, and that's okay. But I really respect. I respect you, and I admire your dedication and your demeanor. I've gotten to know you much better in the last 3 months than I did in the preceding 3 years. I wish I had made a greater effort, because I've come to find out what a wonderful person you are. I will miss you. I will miss you. And I, too, will try to be a voice for students in your behalf, because you really care. And if in 4 years you still have interest, I will just work like hell to try to get you back up, if that's what you want then. Okay?
Always are thinking outside the box. I always knew exactly where you were coming from, which made it easy, very easy to work with you. You always taught and brought to the board new approaches and fresh ideas. In fact, you insisted on bringing new ideas to the table.
It often made me think of things in new ways. And one of the things that I most respect is that you always had a positive thought and comment for everyone who spoke before the board and for board members, whether they were being critical or complimentary, and mostly your passion for public education.
Thank you. Well, my best memory is as we were in San Diego walking to the conference, and I just remember, hey, how do we, you know, I don't understand. What are we going to do? Or what does it mean being a board member? As you changed from your to your sneakers, so if we could do that long walk, you explained so much to me. And your, do you know about the expulsion hearings? You're just such a great mother figure. And I knew what kind of person you were. Or you are. Sorry. You really laid it out there. But I know what kind of person you are, because as we were walking down, there was, I don't know, probably 10 board members in front of us working our way down to the convention center. And this homeless man stopped and asked every single one of them for money. And right there, your compassion, just right there, you opened your purse and you said, here you go, sweetie. Spend it well. And I just, you know, that's... That shows what kind of person you are. You're caring to everybody. And I'm going to miss our time on the board together.
Thank you. Catherine, would you like to share any thoughts with us before we move on to Russell's bright and cheery budget discussion?
Well, I'd just like to add that... Phil, I'm not quite old enough to be your mother, but I do feel very maternal towards you. But you're forgiven. And this does feel a bit like a wake, so I understand you're using me in the past tense there. I have the ultimate respect for each and every one of you as individuals and as a board, and I have complete confidence that you will continue to put children first and put our energies and resources where they belong, and that this district, with the wonderful superintendent that you and I have chosen for this to lead our district, will continue to be a wonderful place to work and live and teach and learn. And I have been honored to be a part of it, and thank you for that. I look forward to contributing more in the future, and you know, as I like to say, I'm no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should, and our paths will cross. Thank you. Are those for me? You're all very dear, very dear. And this is going to be the shortest meeting on record. I think we have now a secondary. Oh, Russell, I'm so sorry, Russell.
That's okay.
It won't be the shortest meeting in history.
And just on a personal note, Catherine, as a member of staff, we've truly appreciated your spectrum of understanding and interests and your intelligent way you approach the issues and cause us to think and develop ideas, too. It's been a perfect relationship in terms of the board member and the staff. It's been awesome. Thank you. All right. Now, the cheery message is, I don't have one. I'm sorry. But I won't try and bury you, I promise. I think that what we've had in the last week is some news out of Sacramento, which isn't startling by itself, but is startling for its consistency with the past. And the Legislative Analyst Office, which is the bipartisan, non-bipartisan representative for the legislature on economic issues and what's happening in the state, has released a report which reflects a concern they have that the budget for the state of California through 2011-2012 will have a $25 billion hole in it. There's $6 billion attributable to this year, 10-11. 6 weeks after the passage and signing of the current year's budget, they find we made a mistake. And there will be $19 billion that they're going to attribute as a shortfall in 11-12 that's related basically to the expiration of one-time taxes and other revenue sources that won't continue in that year, plus some budgeted expenditures which won't be able to be covered. Clearly, the state has a huge problem. It's not anything new. It's been going on every year. They develop a budget, and 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks later, they're right back at it saying, oh, by the way, we're going to have to go back and make some adjustments. Invariably, the adjustments fall into some type of mid-year budget cuts, and a deferral of revenues, a cutting of revenues, something that happens to the education industry. The thing that's particularly concerning, of great concern this year, is that during the budget passage 6 weeks ago, they suspended Prop 98. And in a suspension of Prop 98, which is the constitutionally enacted guarantee for minimum funding for schools, if you suspend that, it takes a two-third votes of the legislature, which they got, a suspension will allow them to cut even deeper into the allocations of what goes to schools and education. The shortfall for 11-12 translates to a 4.4% reduction in revenues for schools next year on the Prop 98 natural. So the formula, because of the reduction in revenues for the state, translates to a 4.4% decline. In addition to that, they have $2.3 billion that they owe from this year on a Prop 98 payback from the suspension. So there is a huge $5.6 billion, I think it is, shortfall that's going to hit education in 11-12. The translation of all of this is that while they passed a budget that didn't have any cuts to education 6 weeks ago, almost certainly the minimum cuts for mid-year in 10-11 are going to include the projected cuts we had back in April and May that the governor had put into his May revise for the budget process recently done. We're going to have mid-year cuts. In addition to that, what we're going to be looking at is an 11-12 that has no safety net left for education, because education is such a huge part of the state budget. It almost certainly will hit at least that level of the $5.6 billion that's projected by the Legislative Analyst Office. So I give this to you simply as information. Be ready for the bad news. It's coming. Chris?
Yeah, and I think one other thing that we ought to talk about, too, is what's happening on the federal level. And what I've been reading is the good news is the feds say they want to keep their mitts off of state education. They don't want to interfere with how we're doing and give us back local control, and I think everybody here would appreciate that. On the other hand, what a lack of local control has meant for us is that we've gotten money from the feds. We've gotten money with strings attached. And what I'm reading from the incoming Republican congressmen who are apparently going to be in charge of the Education Committee is a strong belief that there is too much money, federal money, spent on education. I don't think we're going to be seeing the same levels of federal money from education. And I think federal monies have been what saved us and other school districts this year. And so I don't expect that, absent some kind of a budget compromise in Washington, which I think is highly unlikely, we're going to see no federal money next year or a lot less federal money. And again, that talk about our safety net, that was our safety net this year, and it's going to be gone.
You're absolutely right. Actually, it's been our safety net for the last 3 years with the ARRA money coming at us and then the jobs money that came this year and will be available to us for the next year also. There has been a true benefit of the federal intervention into states' educational budgets. But like Chris said, the landscape changed dramatically with the election, and there is a very, very strong indication from the Republicans, who now control the appropriations out of the House, that education is not going to take the lead role that it has in the past several years. So it's a horrible picture in terms of expectations, but as long as we expect less and plan for less, we can maybe hold off some of the catastrophic issues that may be coming our way. I'm not sure of the specific amounts we will be looking at, but we did budget for a $1.5 million hit to our revenues from the state of California on mid-year. That translates, I think, into the mid-year cut. So approximately another $1.5 million will go back to the state on top of the $2.6 million they have already taken from us. So we can look for that. Your microphone.
I have a
In talking about loss of federal dollars, would you anticipate that Title I would be affected as well?
Title I is only affected, no, I know in terms of the whole pot of money, but because the Title I pool has expanded, then the per student allocation has declined. And so we see a declining allocation for our district because there's so many more students accessing the same number of dollars. So in that sense, yes.
As our Title I qualifying student base rises.
It has risen also, but not as at the same level as the federal numbers nationwide.
Okay, thank you.
Ellen.
Two things. One, I've also been reading about just a flat that the feds are wanting to take at least just a flat 5% from all states. So to cut all federal monies for whatever purpose by 5%. So that would also do some rearranging, I would imagine, if that goes through. And secondly, I just have a question. Do you see any, have you taken a look again or had information to be able to look again to see what you're expecting from our local property taxes, if that's still remaining the same?
Yeah. Our property taxes are set now. We've all received our property tax bills. So the assessor has sent out the bills, and the total sum of the property taxes coming to us in 2010, 2011 is down by 0.48%, I think, is the final number on that. There is one variable which could go either way, and that's delinquent taxes, collection of delinquent taxes. Last year, delinquent taxes rose, as you would expect in an economy like this. And in some year, okay, as the property sells or somebody makes their payments, there will be a recapture of that amount that wasn't paid. I don't know that this is the year to expect that, but that's the variable we can't predict. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
That's the number you've been working from all along, or that 0.5%?
Yeah, the 0.5%.
So that hasn't—you haven't had to adjust that.
No, and we won't. It's done.
Okay.
That's a final number. The only part about that is also that it's the first time in at least the 11 years I've been here that we've ever seen any kind of decline in our property taxes. I've forgotten to ask, when was the last time we had a decline? I'm not sure there was a time. This might be a unique year in terms of property taxes.
So, Russell, just in terms of when. So when do you expect to hear, and when would the cuts hit?
You know, Schwarzenegger went out and called a special session of the legislature for some reason. I'm still interested to see what leverage he thinks he's got to make people do something they weren't willing to do 6 weeks ago. And from that aspect, it's questionable. But when Brown takes office, one of the first acts he'll have is to call a special election. And one of the special elections will be to continue the expiring taxes that relate to higher income levels, corporate, what they call net operating loss carryovers, and other things that have aspects of continuing to raise additional revenues. Depending on how the voters react to that, and if you think that it's strategically targeted to hit only the upper income levels and the corporations, the chances of success are probably pretty good. Then, depending on when he calls a special election, I think we'll know something. And I'm only going to get February or March.
Okay.
Best I got.
And the cuts, the mid-year cuts would not roll ahead anyway, or would they wait for that election?
There's two techniques they use. One is to withhold money that they owe us for ROP programs, for categorical programs. They've already taken our transportation money, and I forgot something else. They've taken over $2 million from us already that they've notified us about. And so I think their strategy, this will be my opinion, the controller's office isn't going to give us any more money until after a special election called by Governor mm-hmm. Brown occurs so that they can have a pot of money available in Sacramento to pull from.
Okay.
And that's going to be their method, I think. That's what I'd do if I was cold-hearted and mean and
Thank you for that ray of sunshine, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Prater. Mr. Robinette.
Thank you. I'm sitting in for Rita Delkiskamp tonight, so hopefully I won't muck it up too badly. But we have three courses that staff is recommending and requesting your review for the secondary level for the 2011-12 school year. So let me just describe what the three courses are, and then I'm certainly available to answer any questions. The first course, Introduction to Video Production, is a wheel course, part of the elective wheel, designed for specifically Laguna Middle School, and they would like to offer their seventh grade students this course. It's modeled after the Media C3 course that is currently being offered at Los Osos Middle School. Laguna is now accessing the PEG funds, and so it's all the proposed funding is all from the public education government funds for equipment and what have you. And so this would be a seventh grade wheel elective for next year. The second course is an agriculture, ROP agriculture speech communication course. Although we currently offer a speech class within the English department, the proposed ROP ag speech communication class would facilitate students' participation in FFA competitive events. It's an ROP class. The funding is primarily out of ROP and fits within that kind of articulated ROP curriculum. The final proposed course is a music teaching and careers class. This would be at least piloted the first year at Morro Bay High School. Currently, some components of this proposed course are existing. Some of our jazz band students have been going out to feeder elementary schools and working with students. This would actually kind of formalize and create a class for those students really interested in going into a music teaching type of career. They would be actually working with our elementary students in their zero period band classes, those schools that have band that meets before school, which currently is Baywood and Del Mar. So students would be involved in that. It's important to note that these three courses will have no impact on general types of district funds. We're currently involved in discussion about other proposed courses for the 2011-12 school year, but because the other ones we're looking at certainly have budget impacts with textbooks, we want to kind of wait and see what the budget looks like before we come with any other proposals. So these three are low-impact courses that we'd like to see approved. And you have the option of approving this item at this time, or staff can bring the item back in next meeting's consent agenda. I'm available for questions.
Mr. Buckland.
Thank you. I think these are phenomenal classes. I wrote down the word wow in my agenda, especially like the music. I like the RP, but especially like the music and tying the education to career, tying personal interests to career. I just think that's really exciting. I do, however, have a question about that one. It sounded to me as if we're going to have students transporting themselves to classes, and I'm just wondering how that works.
Yeah, in some situations, this would be a zero period class, so it would be like our current ROP classes. Those students who are able to drive themselves would have that option. We never allow students to drive other students. That's forbidden by board policy, but students can, with parent permission and with the they have the ability to drive themselves. We also, though, because Bryn Bellier, the teacher that will be doing this course at Morro Bay High School, he has access to the district van during that period and will also be transporting students who don't have transportation. So I would imagine some of the students involved will go directly from their home in Los Osos to Baywood School, but certainly we have the ability to transport students with the teacher. So,
Ellen.
Introduction to Video Production.
Yes.
It says budget $50,000. So I need to. Is that a one?
It is. It's through our PEG funding, and the PEG funds have been kind of sitting there for a while. And Morro Bay High School, San Luis Obispo High School, and Los Osos Middle School have accessed those and spent their allocation. Laguna has not yet. So this is all funds that were generated from charter communications. So the just like our funding largely to do these kinds of meetings on public access TV, they have that funding. The $50,000 is strictly equipment. One of the aspects of the PEG funds is it can't be used for staffing, it can't be used for professional development. So this is cameras, computers, sound equipment, microphones.
So is it one time?
It is one time.
Okay, so
although the PEG funds, there is recurring. I mean, it is based on
can be updated.
Charter subscribers. And so that money can continue to be used at these four sites only for equipment purchase.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. And Mr. Angel?
Thank you. The PEG class and the video production is only 7th grade because 8th grade is not on a wheel. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's proposed to be a 7th grade class, and if because they're just trying to get their feet off the ground in this course. At Los Osos Middle School, Greg Wilcox has been doing video production stuff for a dozen years and has accessed this money and was able to create that Media C3 course pretty easily and quickly. At Laguna, what they'd like to do is offer this wheel course, kind of get their feet off the ground, and then do the Media C3, which the board has already approved next year as an 8th grade elective. So this is a way of kind of, moving into the use of the media technology.
Sounds good. And then I'm going to echo Mark's comments when I even dog-eared this. I was like, wow, that's really cool.
That's great stuff.
The music class is awesome.
Mr. Hoover?
I would like to make a motion then that we approve new secondary courses for 2011-2012.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
That's 6-0, and Mr. Millar is absent. So we will move on to the action consent agenda. If anyone would care to pull an item, please say so. We're talking number 2, approval of certificated and classified personnel items, acceptance of donation, number 3, number 4, disposition of surplus property, number 5, approval of furniture and equipment requests, number 6, approval of purchase orders, number 7, approval of waiver of California high school exit exam, waivers, requests for students with disabilities, number 8, approval of out-of-state field study trip, Morro Bay High School concert and jazz bands to New York City. Is it possible? We have no unfold.
I'd like to pull 2, please.
Number 2. Okay. So anyone care to make a...
I move we approve items 3 through 8.
And I'll second.
And what about number 1? I'm sorry. That was number 2. I'm sorry. You're right. So item 3 through 8, second by Mark Buckman. All in favor?
Aye.
And Marilyn?
I pulled number 2 with the realization that I can't acknowledge everybody who retires. But certain names do pop out at me, and people that I've had occasion to deal with, and I know we've all had occasion to deal with, Brenda Carlskin in the personnel department. And she's a wonderful, kind, helpful person, a really sweet and friendly voice on the phone, and I'm going to miss her, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to acknowledge her retirement and to wish her well. And that said, I'll move approval of item 2.
Thank you. Seconded by Mr. Unger.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
And that passes also 6-0 with Mr. Millar absent. And we now have advanced agenda. Anyone have any advanced agenda items? Mr. Buckman.
Sorry, let me just catch up. I think it was Marilyn that had proposed the solar energy project to us to look into that. Am I right on that one? Do you remember?
The rec solar?
Yeah, the big...
The big solar energy project?
That come from you?
I don't think that came from me. I think I was the Wells.
You were the Wells.
Wells, okay. Well, following along in Marilyn's footsteps and in the solar energy, as we look at energy and the increasing costs, it comes to mind that there may be ways to actually saved some money there. And so what I'd like to request is, if the board would indulge me, is to have staff come back and talk to us about ways that our district, and actually look into ways that other districts are actually using technology to save money by monitoring their use of energy in all aspects of the district. And so I'm asking for that.
Trustee Buckman, are you referring to like an energy audit?
There are evidently companies that do energy audits, but what I'm hearing is there are also companies that work with staff to identify, create a baseline, and then come in and work with staff on with software and personnel programs to save money. I know of one district that in 24 months saved $800,000. So I think it may be worth looking into.
Yeah. Russell stepped out for a moment. I know that he and his team have done some work in this, but what I could do is bring back to the board current ways that we have looked at this, and then we could identify companies, we could identify other ways other districts have saved money, and look at that and see if there's things that we have not done that we could do.
And Mr. McMahon, would you like this as a Friday note or as a agenda item?
I'm thinking of it as being an agenda item and or a presentation under superintendent's reports. Mm. I think it's well worth that.
I could do that.
I like the idea.
Now, I knew a lot of districts around us are trying to save money on utilities and stuff, and there's a lot better way to, you know, we can be proactive.
I think that's a good idea.
Good. Any other items for the future agenda?
So this will be brought back for a vote next time? Is that the protocol?
I could put it under superintendent's update on the December 7th board meeting, if you'd like.
Will that give you enough time to do it? That's right, Russell can do it.
That was my thinking. Actually, this time around,
that's what you get for leaving, Russell.
This time around, the point I believe is to identify ways that we are currently conserving energy, the programs we've utilized, the ways we've looked at things, and then identify additional mechanisms that we could look at and pursue for additional meetings down the road if we wanted to.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary, and I'm hoping this ends up along the lines of what we were capable to do with the solar energy project and down the road, how much this will be able to be both an example for the public and also a benefit to the district.
Well, it would certainly go along with some of our goals. I'm thinking about, if not generating additional revenue, but by saving money, we can sort of draw the line that's generating additional revenue, I think. Generating, as the pun could be.
Can we get the word generating?
What?
Dr. Freed? Okay. Okay, very good. And so we're at reports by board members. Mr. Unger?
Sure.
We'll go around the room.
I've had kind of a fun week. I got to go to Baywood last week and have lunch with the staff. And I just wanted to compliment the dedication of the teachers. A concern that was expressed to me was the amount of testing that goes on and the time that's actually given to the teachers to do the testing. And what one of the teachers explained to me is, I've got a lot that I'm supposed to do and I don't have enough time to do it. So I think that was a concern I wanted to share, which kind of goes along with some of the other things I'm hearing, which is looking at the uninterrupted time for in the classroom, instructional time. And so I'm getting a feeling that there's a lot of good stuff we're doing there, but then in some ways, perhaps
it's not as well coordinated as it could be. And I know Dr. Prater and I have talked about that, so I don't think I'm sharing anything new. And then, again, just this focus on learning and how can we get to use our instructional time wisely. And I know that's something you guys are looking at. Today I had lunch at Laguna at Los Osos Middle School, and I was really pleased to have lunch there. It's kind of like old times with the teachers I know from years ago. And they spent a good amount of time talking to me and questioning me about the budget, about the concerns they have about our budgeting, the amount of reserves that we keep, whether or not we, in fact, could lose basic aid status, and then class size. And one of the things that Dr. Elfrink shared with me is at Los Osos Middle School, because of the way they're scheduling, is they have some classes with fewer kids and some classes with more kids. And I know that that's something that they're working on there. And that was also one of the teachers talked to me about that as well. But I know Terry's taken that really seriously. But I do appreciate the teachers at Los Osos Middle School pushing on me and giving me a chance to push back a little bit. And then finally, I think everybody knows tonight, I was able to do a presentation for Georgie O'Connor, who is probably the longest serving school board member in California in a single district. She's been a school board member for 49 years. They had a special presentation for her tonight at the Lucia Marr board meeting. I'd say there were at least 150 people there, and I didn't get to hear everybody tell stories about her, but the stories they told about her were pretty funny. And when you've been on a school board for 49 years, I guess there better be some. But her dedication to schools and to students is second to none. Kim and Dr. Prater came up with a proclamation since we couldn't do a resolution, and it was a proclamation for Georgie O'Connor, school board member extraordinaire, and she was quite touched by that, so thank you.
And Marilyn.
Thank you. Last night I had the opportunity to attend a presentation at the County Office of Education. Mr. Buckman was there. Mr. Angel was there. Mr. Robinette. Having to do with bullying. And I think it was put on, was it under the auspices of PTA?
Yeah, it was actually a joint group. It was PTA, 4-H, United Way, Asset Development Network. It was a wonderful activity because of all the sponsors.
It was a whole group of people. And it was a video presentation followed by discussion on the subject of bullying, and it was very thought-provoking. There were a number of other people from our district there. Principals mm-hmm. were there. Teachers were there. Other personnel and parents. But I'm wondering if it could be made possible to have this presentation available to our personnel in district. And Dr. Prater, what thoughts you might have on how that could be achieved?
Thank you, Marilyn. First of all, I appreciate the fact that we had such great support there last night. And I had the opportunity to watch this presentation about a month ago at the Veterans Hall in San Luis Obispo. And Dr. Garabino was the main presenter on the video. So I agree. I think the message there is an important one. It's a profound one in many ways as to how we tackle the problems with bullying and those by expanding the circle of care is the concept. And so I have access to that video, and I'm thinking the best, probably the most effective way to get that message out would be to share out the video with the principals through the principal council meeting. And then have the principals share it with their staffs at the local level. So that's where where bullying resonates in their own unique way. And I think they could tackle it in their own way. And through that message, I think, through that process, I think it would get to the most people in the most appropriate way. So principal council to the sites.
That sounds wonderful to me. Okay. And then I'm wondering if there's a way to include parents and community members.
Yeah, you know, that's a critical link. And what I will encourage the principals to consider doing, in virtually every single one of the principal meetings that I've been having individually with Rick and the principals, there are goals on some level that have to do with parent partnerships and outreach. This is a logical and really important way to do that. So I think there are ways that I could encourage the principals to use this video and this issue of expanding the circle of care within their communities by reaching out to parents and do a movie night and wrap it around the idea of making our schools safe for all kids. So I will do that.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you for thinking about all that and getting it, you know, ahead of me. I'm glad that you were already thinking about it. Thanks.
You bet.
Mr. Buckman.
First of all, I think the board and everybody should know this was first shown in the community in October, and Dr. Prater was the only superintendent in the audience at that time, and it was kudos to him. I also want to say that it looked to me last night that San Luis Coastal probably had the largest contingent, and very, very, very moving to see that happen. I also would like to thank the staff, and especially Anna Bates. Sometimes we lose track of our ROP students, and there are activities that happen after they graduate and after they qualify for some of the things. So Aaron Flores, Corey Fonts, Joe Rydell all received their American degree at the FFA National Conference this fall after they graduated. This is the highest honor that FFA gives. And Bailey Rydell and Keena Lewis were also there as voting delegates. So special thanks to the staff that prepared our students well enough to get there. I'd also like to thank Chris for attending Georgie's and representing all of us. I'm sorry I didn't get to go because I bet it was a blast. And then just Friday, I'll be attending the Educating for Careers Conference up in San Mateo, which I'm looking forward to. Thank you.
Mr. Angel.
Well, the schools had the students had 2 days off recently for a 4-day weekend, and as I was taking my kids to different community events, I got to hear unsolicited kudos from two different people about the same person. So I wanted to Amy Shields. There was a parent who just went on and raved about how much she meant to her student, her child. Her child transferred from Los Ranchos and was extremely nervous over the summer, a fifth grader, and Amy took the time to really meet the kid beforehand, and this parent just was glowing about her. And then in a different event, another parent was just raving about Amy Shields again and Mr. Kramer. So, kudos.
Well deserved, too. And I think that wraps it up for this evening. And is there anyone who'd like to call for adjournment?
In honor of Walt Millar, I would like to call for early adjournment.
That's all right. Safe travels, Walt. Thank you very much. Good evening.